She took her hair and dried her tears that fell upon his feet. My, how she loved her master so. Her reputation was less than pure, but only he could see. Her tears were for the day they'd lay him low. Then for his head she held a vessel filled with sweet perfume, an exorbitant price, but she breaks the box and its fragrance fills. The kind to give and don't think twice. What love, never holding one thing back. Such love that she would give the best she had. What love. Precious little baby to men of 33, down through the years God watched him grow. And from a little town called Bethlehem and on to Calvary and on that lonely hill, God watched him go. What he felt inside his broken heart, God only knows. But the hammer struck, the vessel broke, then came that precious. To give and don't think twice. What love, never holding one thing back. Such love that he would give the best he had. What love, never holding one thing back. Such love that we should give the best we have.
Thank you, Miss Camp. What love. The Bible says, what manner of love is this that he hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? What love. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I ask that you stand with me as I begin to read in verse number 1, and we'll read all 24 verses of this last chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. The Bible says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Isn't it amazing that all the way back here in Bible days, on the Lord's Day, they were instructed to lay by them in store, give their tithes and offerings through the local church. That's where they're going on the Lord's Day. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring you your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Now may I say to you, while I'm reading this, that Paul spent more time at Corinth than any other local church he established. They needed his help. It was a carnal church, a worldly church, a church full of baby Christians, and they were not spiritual. Paul said they were carnal. He said, "For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear." Every preacher is encouraged when they have to write a letter to the church you're going to and say, "Hey, treat him so that he'll not be afraid while he's there." I've been in some churches where it's like I'm preaching to a group of pit bulls. And this is perhaps what Timothy was going into. "Let no man, therefore, despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have a convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us, and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." Now go back, if you will, and look at verse number 22, and we'll use this as the basis of our message today. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, a warning and a promise. A warning and a promise. In these two words, these two Greek words, anathema, Maranatha, we have both the warning and the promise. Heavenly Father, I need your help this morning as I bring this message. Would you give me liberty and power to stand and preach and make clear the Word of God? I sure do want to be a blessing and honor you. I want to be faithful and just and honest in preaching the Word of God. Help people to understand I'm not preaching to hurt them or to scare them, but to give to them truth. For only when we have truth can we make right and proper decisions about our life. Now, Father, I thank you for the many who are gathered here today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you might meet with us and walk up and down the aisles of this auditorium and speak to every person present today. I pray that the Holy Spirit might convict the hearts of those who are lost and without Jesus. Help them to understand that it is not your will they die and go to hell. You tell us plainly in the Bible that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And I pray that you might do your work this morning in hearts of men and women and boys and girls, and every unsaved person hearing my voice might accept Jesus Christ today as their Savior. Then, Father, there's some Christians here not living in the will of God. They too are not spiritual. Like these Corinthian Christians, they're more carnal than spiritual. They're not in the will of God. They're not living to please you. Would you do your work on the hearts of your people today? And I pray that you might bring great conviction in the areas where we're not living according to your will and your word. And Lord, do so that we might get right. We might come back to God and the Bible and your place in the will of God for our lives. Then, Father, I know that we have a good number today of people who need a church home. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, would you give them direction and understanding of what the will of the Lord is for their lives. We're honored that you'd send guests to our church. Help me to be a blessing to them and help our people to be a blessing to them. When they leave here today, may they leave here feeling they've been in the house of God where God met with His people. Add to our church today. We'll thank you in advance for every decision that shall be made and every heart that shall be touched. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You ought to underline those two words, anathema, maranatha. The epistle of 1 Corinthians is written to a church with a lot of problems. The Bible says that they were carnal, not spiritual. They were baby Christians, not mature Christians. They were selfish and self-centered. They had not died to self. They had not crucified the flesh. They were obsessed with their own ideas instead of God's Word. Sounds like today, doesn't it? All but the closing remarks of 1 Corinthians was dictated by Paul to Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus and Timothy. However, the last four verses are so strong and severe in their warning and so wonderful in its promise that the Apostle Paul would not allow anyone else to write them down for him. He wrote them down with his own hand. Listen to what he says. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be anathema, maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. For my message this morning, I want to emphasize the severe warning and the wonderful promise that Paul states here in this passage of Scripture. These verses apply to every person hearing my voice today in one of two ways. Not one person is left out. To all who have heard of Jesus Christ and love Him not, you've never accepted Him as your Savior. Here is a terrible warning in one word, anathema. To all who have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, here is a wonderful and glorious promise. One word, Maranatha. These two words, anathema and maranatha, is recorded the future of every person listening to my voice this morning. First of all, I want you to consider the terrible warning that Paul states. Anathema. What does it mean, anathema? Anathema means to be accursed by God. One is not accursed by God because of rebellion against authority or because of profaning His holy ordinances. That's not why they're accursed of God here in this passage. Those who are cursed of God are those who have not accepted Him as Savior. They have not accepted the Anointed One, the Christ, nor do they love Him as their Savior, who is God's atoning sacrifice for their sin. Paul said, if you do not love Him, you have not accepted Him, anathema awaits you. Anathema. Now notice that in verse 22, the Savior is called the Lord Jesus Christ. Four words of great importance is here seen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice first of all, the adjective, the. It did not say a Christ. It said the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing to one person. Only one person could meet the prophecies and fulfill the prophecies concerning Messiah. And that is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that there will be many false Christ, but only one person that can be called the Christ. This week, one of my men gave me this little brochure that was on the bulletin board at his work. And this brochure is talking about someone who calls himself the man Christ Jesus. His name is Dr. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. Now, this is not the Christ. He calls himself the Christ. The reason I know, there's no nail prints in his hands. There's no scars on his brow from the crown of thorns. He does have a big gold diamond ring on his hand. And he does have a beautiful golden bracelet on his arm. I don't know that Jesus had a big diamond ring and a gold bracelet. But listen to how he's advertised. The man Christ Jesus, Dr. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda, is coming to the U.S. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, may arrive in, or will arrive, or has arrived in America. He is the last manifestation of God in the flesh. He has established the government of God on the earth as written in the Gospels. He has promised that every religion, including Catholic, Protestants, Jewish, Mormons, and so forth, will end, as all their leaders are corrupt in teaching and they're teaching expired doctrine. Worldwide followers, the church, recognize and proclaim Him as the Lord and reveal to all nations that He is God. Some of His doctrines. He's turning ignorance into the wisdom by revealing the mysteries of the world. He's teaching the world that sin no longer exists. Some of you think that. I can tell the way you're living. He's proving that there is no devil. He was destroyed 2,000 years ago. He's transforming the lives of millions of people worldwide. Hey, the man I'm preaching about is not Miranda. It's not one of the false Christs. It is the one and only, the Lord Jesus Christ. Miranda can't save you. Miranda can give you no hope. The best he can teach is a lie. Those that follow him will end up where he ends up, in the pit. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible says, if any man preach any other gospel other than I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema. This man's under the curse of God, claiming to be Christ. He is a false Christ. The Bible says there is one and only the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you confused by some Johnny come lately. And by the way, the first time you will see Jesus as a Christian will not be in a public stadium. It'll not be on the television. He'll be coming in the clouds, and as he comes down, we'll go up. If you're not in that group, then you're under the curse. Anathema. Anathema. The Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you distinguish him from all the others? He died on the old rugged cross, was buried, lay in the grave 3 days and three nights, and on the morning of that third day, he came forth in resurrection glory. He has power to save souls. He ascended back to glory, and he's coming back again, just exactly like he's promised. Anathema. And then notice he's called the Lord. That word Lord means the one who is supreme, the holy, holy, holy God of heaven, the one who is the master of all. He is Lord of lords, God of gods. All one day every knee shall bow to this God. Every tongue shall confess that he is the Lord. He is God incarnate in human flesh. The Lord Jesus. The word Jesus means Savior. He came to seek and to save them that was lost. He did not come to build a name. He did not come to take large offerings. He did not come to buy diamond rings and gold bracelets. He came to go to a cross and die that sinners like me and you could have life everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ. He came to forgive our sins and to save our souls. And to do so, he had to go to the cross and die. He was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection. Then he's Christ. The word Christ means the anointed of God, the promised one, the Messiah, the one that was prophesied about in Genesis chapter 3, the one that is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who is the descendant of Jesse, the one who is the greater son than David, the one that little virgin girl gave birth to in a manger, just like God predicted. Christ, the anointed of God. Now, consider the complete meaning of the word anathema and the way it's used in verse 22. It means that anyone who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior is facing total destruction and eternal damnation. That's what it means. Anathema. Total destruction and eternal damnation. It's explained even more in Galatians 1. He says, Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. Anathema. Face total destruction and eternal damnation. The Lord is telling us that if we receive any other gospel than Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and arose for our justification, then let that person be accursed. There is no hope. There is no salvation. This is God pronouncing judgment, their judgment, in eternal hell for all eternity because they've not accepted His provision for their salvation. Anathema means separation from God into everlasting flames. Separation from God. Now, the modernist says, hell is just separation from God. That's not the meaning of the word anathema. The word anathema means separated from God into eternal damnation in the pits of hell, in the lake of fire, forever and forever. And that curse is against man because he has not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Every person without Christ is under that curse. Hey, that's the reason we're to send missionaries out. That's the reason we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The only way that curse can be lifted is through Jesus Christ. That's the reason we promote global church planters and try to establish churches where the gospel can be preached throughout the world. People without Christ are under that curse. Anathema. It makes no difference if they're in Africa or Argentina or Arlington, Texas. Without Jesus, they're under that terrible curse. That curse is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. That curse is a reality that must be faced if you have not accepted Christ as Savior. If you're not a part of God's family by personal faith in Jesus Christ, then you're still a part of the devil's family. To become a part of God's family, you must be born again, and the new birth takes place only when you accept Christ as your Savior. Now consider those who are under the terrible curse, anathema. The Bible says those who love not the Lord. Those who, our love is proven again and again in our life. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. Keep my commandments. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Those that come, he said, I'll not cast you out. Anathema is on those that refuse to come. In Isaiah chapter 45 verse 22, God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none other. He's promised to save all who will turn to Him. But all who do not come to Him are under that curse. We're to prove our love for Him by giving. And you know what the first thing He wants? Our sins. When we give Him our heart. Don't tell me you love God and you've not given Him your heart. You've not asked Him to be your Savior. The first thing He wants is that burden of sin that's condemning us to an eternity in hell. And He wants us to give it to Him. Put it upon Him. He died to pay for it. When we give Him our sins and give Him our heart, He gives us life everlasting and cancels the curse. Cancels the curse. Thank God in Jesus Christ, I don't have to go to bed and worry ever again about dying and going to hell. In fact, the only thing I'll never know about hell is what I read in the Bible. The curse has been canceled for all who have accepted Jesus as Savior. And the question is, have you accepted Him? If not, the curse is still on you. Anathema! Anathema. Then may I say, secondly, anathema speaks of a real and definite judgment awaiting those who have never accepted Christ as Savior. Now, don't try to convince me that you love God and yet you've never accepted His only provision for your salvation. If you have never invited Jesus into your heart as Savior, don't try to prove to me how much you love Him. To say that you love God and not accept His Son as your Savior is to make light and mock God's provision for our sin. To say that you love God and you have not accepted Jesus who died on the cross for your sins is to make light of His suffering and His bleeding and His dying. Not to accept Jesus Christ as Savior is to make light of the sins, your sins. And it's to say that you don't value Jesus in Calvary as God's payment for man's sin debt. The fact that Jesus has not come back in these almost 2,000 years since He ascended back to heaven does not in any way do away with this awful pronouncement of judgment. Anathema! upon all who have never accepted Christ is as certain as Calvary was certain, as certain as the resurrection was certain, and is as certain as Christ's coming is certain. Anathema. Well, enough of that. Let me get to the glorious promise that's given with this terrible warning. Maranatha! Maranatha! Maranatha means our Lord is coming. Anathema, Maranatha, means the curse, under the curse, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may I say to you, that word Maranatha is a wonderful promise among early Christians. This was one of their favorite greetings, Maranatha. Now, no, I wasn't there to hear them say it. Some of you thinking that, aren't you? Preacher, did you hear them say that? But many early Christians would greet one another instead of saying hello or good morning, they'd say, Maranatha, our Lord is coming. Our Lord is coming. Our Lord is coming. One word. They use this term to show their eager anticipation of the Lord's coming. They use this term, Maranatha, to express the longing in their hearts to see their Lord and Savior. The fact is, the last prayer in the Bible is found in Revelation 22:20. The Apostle John says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Even so come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Even so come. Come quickly. Amen. Can you say that this morning? Can you pray that this morning? It reveals an inward longing in the heart of the child of God to see Him at His coming. A Christian who is right with God can pray that same prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. I'm ready. Can you pray it? Maranatha, our Lord is coming. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Come today. That ought to be our prayer. There's something wrong in your life if you can't pray it. Number one, if you can't pray that prayer, it may be because you're not saved. I promise you, there's not an unsaved person that wants Jesus to come back, because at His coming, anathema. The unsaved face the accursed, the curse of God. They are accursed. They are condemned already. Can you pray it? Those who are backslidden can't pray that prayer. You're not living for God. You're not faithful in His service. You're not living in His perfect will. You don't attend and support His local church. You have trouble praying that prayer. There used to be a song back in the 60s that said, "Wait a little longer, Lord Jesus." That's the prayer most Christians would pray today. Most Christians wouldn't pray, "Even so come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come today!" We ought to live our life in such a way that we want Him to come. We're ready for Him to come. We're looking for Him to come at any day, any minute, even now. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, our Lord is coming. One of these days we'll hear it. Maranatha, our Lord is coming. And it won't be talking about the future. It'll be talking about that very moment. Jesus is coming again. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Are you living and serving with an anxious expectation for the Lord Jesus Christ to come again? Or do you want Him to wait a little while? The way you answer this question reveals the true spiritual condition of your life and heart. Come now. Wait a little while. Which is it? The unsaved do not want Jesus to come again. They're not ready. The backslidden Christian is not ready for Jesus to come now. Honestly, how do you feel in regard to this prayer, this promise? Our Lord is coming. Our Lord is coming. And then lastly, these two words, anathema, Maranatha, called for a solemn question that must be asked. Do you love the Lord Jesus and look for His soon return? Do you love Him? Not your neighbor, not some other church family. Do you? Not daddy, not mama. Do you? Not husband or wife, but do you? Do you love Him? And are you longing for His soon return? Not to love Him reveals an ingratitude for Calvary. Not to love Him reveals a rejection of God's free gift of eternal life. Not to love Him shows an indifference toward the plan of God for your salvation and eternal life. The sentence is plain for all those who do not love and accept Christ as Savior. Anathema. Anathema. Everlasting destruction in hellfire. Their eternal home will be the lake of fire. Their family is not the family of God, but the devil and all those who have never been born again. And the sad fact is, it was their choice. You won't be able to blame God or blame someone else. You've heard the gospel and you've not accepted Him. It is your choice when you say no to Him, when you turn away from Him. It is your choice when you accept Him. You see, Jesus knocks on our heart's door, but He don't knock the door down. You've got to open it. You've got to invite Him to come in. And without Him, the sad fact is anathema. Anathema. To be accursed of God in this life and in eternity, or to be saved and blessed by God in this life and eternity. And it's your choice. Mom and Daddy didn't make the choice for me when I got saved. It was my choice. And your salvation is your choice. Your living for Jesus is your choice. Your being faithful to church is your choice. Your getting right with God is your choice. Your choice. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And in that church there were real Christians, the weak Christians and carnal Christians. And there were fakes and frauds there as well. Those who pretended but were never saved. Which are you this morning? A real Christian? One who has been truly born again, though you may be a weak Christian or a baby Christian? Or even a carnal Christian, but you're a real Christian, you've been born again, you've accepted Christ? Or are you one of those just faking it? Had a young couple having marital problems, and had had marital problems all along, but they wouldn't seek counsel, and when they finally sought counsel, it was too late. And they said, our attitude was, we'll just fake it till we make it. You don't fake Christianity till you make it. You make a choice to accept Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, the fakes, the frauds, and the fools will be separated from those who have been born again. Have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus? One of these words describe you and your future this morning. Is it anathema? Accursed of God, eternal destruction? Or is it Maranatha, hallelujah, Jesus is coming. Glory day, victory day, promotion day, heaven going day. Maranatha. Or is it anathema? It's your choice. It all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. Let me challenge you. Accept Him today. Trust Him today. Invite Him into your heart today. Determine to live for Him today. Don't make an excuse. Don't put it off. Do it today. And for those of you who are Christians, though you may be weak, though you may be a baby Christian or a carnal Christian, determine you're going to get in church and start serving Him today. Determine you're going to get right with Him and start proving your love for the Savior today. That you're going to get right so that when He comes, your life will be ready with the anxious expectation to meet Him on that day when our Lord cometh. Anathema or Maranatha. Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning.